Welcome to the third episode of Digging Deeper, and the first recorded outside of the confines of our Horizons office in Reading. In this episode, we will be looking at UCEM's journey from a largely paper-based distance learning provider to the leading provider of supported online education for the built environment that it is today, and specifically the past 6 years, the early part of which saw a rapid transformation for the institution. I'm Andrew Belt, UCEM's PR and social media manager, and joining me for the discussion today are UCEM Vice Principal Digital Education and Professional Services, Lynn Downey, and UCEM's Head of Digital Education, Kate Lindsay. Hi, both.
Hi.
Hi, Andrew.
So, speaking of the rapid transformation to online, Lynn, this is something you would have had intimate knowledge of, having joined UCEM with the remit to realise the institution's ambition of providing its programmes wholly online. So, how did the role come about?
So back in the end of 2013, we had a new principal at UCEM, and as part of that, they were looking at somebody who could come in and transfer the academic offer into an online environment. So traditionally, the institution had printed out big binders of material and shipped it all over the world. But as we now had our own degree programmes that we had developed, we wanted to really move online and get much more with the using technology. So they were looking for a programme manager with experience in online education, and my background is IT and online education. So I was lucky enough to be appointed to transfer all of our modules into an online environment in 15 months.
Quite the quick turnaround. And, you know, what was that process like? And I know it was, because I think I joined shortly after, well, you did, or a couple of years in. And I know it was a huge project you were in charge of. So, I mean, what was that process like? And from a practical level, what did that involve?
So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It was a huge project. And, you know, at the time we invested £3 million in the process of transferring all the modules. In that time, we completed 75 modules, and at the peak, we had about 80 people involved in the project. So it was a huge logistical task to get it done. And it would be fair to say that there was some disbelief that it was possible to get it all up and running in the time. So it was about change management and changing the culture of the institution, as well as actually developing the modules. So over the 15 months, we developed over 8,000 individual learning items. And we used a combination of existing staff and bringing in contractors where we needed to support us. But pretty much it would be familiar to people working at UCEM today in terms of the collaboration between academic staff and learning designers. And we started with a blueprint of how a module should look. And then we worked incredibly hard together, but it was only through working together that we were able to make it a success.
And when you did join, you mentioned there was the existing staff, which would have formed the nucleus of the new online education department, which you were heading. How many more people did it take in that first 15-month phase to bring about what you did? And what teams did you create from those staff?
Yeah, so we had, so the existing teams really were looking after the VLE and a small learning design team, and then people within that who also did media production. So we had to expand the learning designers quite considerably, and actually we used freelancers. So I think over the 15 months we had probably about 8 or 10 learning designers come and work with us. Some of them stayed with us through the whole project. Some of us came for shorter periods of time. And then on the tutor side, we obviously used, you know, as much of the in-house resources we could, but that they were still teaching our older legacy programs as well. So at times that was challenging for them to have the time. So we also used our associate tutors, and we also brought in specialists with particular skill sets or particular expertise in subjects. So I would say that there were probably 30 or 40 people at times that were brought in to support us, who some stayed permanently, but then others went off to do other projects, and then the rest of it was the in-house staff. I think as a result of the project, we were able to develop a digital education team and a learning technology team, and we now are lucky enough, obviously, to have our own media production team as well. And I think through the project, we were able to identify the right mix across those teams to support UCEM going forward.
And you mentioned legacy there, so it's not just a case of bringing forward the new online education provision, But there was also the case of finishing off the programmes which were currently in progress. So in terms of that transition, how long did that take from deciding that the legacy programmes, the ones which we weren't going to be offering once we could finish them, to actually getting to that point where there were no more legacy programmes going on anymore?
Yeah, well, our last legacy students have actually only left us within the last 12 months. So it's quite a long time. We launched our new programmes, you know, sort of 6 years ago now. So, I mean, there are other ways to do it. But, you know, given the big change that we were making, we decided to teach out those existing programmes. So, yes, only in the last 12 months have our last legacy students left us.
So kind of a simultaneous operation there with implementing the new provision and seeing off the end of the old provision.
Yes, absolutely.
Taking about 5 years.
And we did do that by keeping them very separate. So that was one of the decisions we made early on. And when I came in, the academic offer programme development was very much kept separate from legacy, and the management of legacy was kept separate from running our new programmes. And I think that really helped both groups of people to really focus on the things they were doing rather than it getting mixed up and priorities getting conflicting.
Mm. And then when you'd completed that first iteration, I mean, how did it feel to get to the end of that 15-month project?
I mean, it was amazing. And I think it had a long tail on it because we had some modules that didn't need to run in the first couple of semesters in the first academic year. So, but I think great relief that we had achieved it. And obviously winning the bronze at the Learning Technology Awards was a real achievement for recognising all the work that we had been put in and what we had done. But I think we all thought there was so much more we could be doing. And I think we all had, you included, you'd have been part of that team. You know, we still felt there was so much more we could do and improvements that we could make. And I think that's the thing about the team, is that they're always striving to make the student experience better and make sure that we're using technology in the best way for the right learning, not just for the sake of it. So I think we all felt there was a lot more work we could still do.
Mm. Yeah, certainly not the end of the process, but yeah, really great first milestone in that process. And obviously online learning provision, yeah, it constantly has to move with the times, and we offer our online learning on a virtual learning environment, which is absolutely critical to ensuring a positive student experience. So, you know, how has it evolved, would you say, since that first iteration?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've been able to take feedback from our students and, you know, really help to understand what are the things that they find really helpful and what are the things that they found more challenging. I think we have we've introduced some new technology. So we moved from Blackboard Collaborate to Zoom. We have introduced online marking, and you know, now we're, you know, into our next phase. But I think it's more each year looking at enhancements that we can make, thinking about how students can best be supportive and making it as easy for them to get to the learning as soon as they can, because we've learned a lot about our students and about how time poor they are and how critical it is that they can, you know, really get into their learning as quickly as possible.
And speaking of evolution, we've got Kate with us here who joined UCM in 2018, first as a senior learning designer and now as our head of digital education. So just first off, I mean, had you heard of UCM before joining, Kate?
Well, no, actually, to be honest, I hadn't. I'd worked for a number of years in a traditional Russell Group university and thus had largely networked with other traditional Russell Group universities who were looking at to use technology to enhance their face-to-face teaching rather than a digital first or a fully online provision. I knew that Reading had had a strong remote teaching and later online teaching provision, but I hadn't quite made the link that had separated off into what UCM is now. And that link came when I saw a job advert for senior learning designer, and I was looking for a change to get deeper into the challenges of digital education. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity to get into online learning in a digital first environment. It's quite rare, so I went for it. And since then, I've really enjoyed learning about the institution and what it does.
And then when you did join and you'd have arrived when we'd moved from the University of Reading to our new office in the centre of Reading, I mean, what were your first impressions? I mean, firstly, of UCM in general, and then when you started to take a look at our online learning provision, what did you think of it?
Well, UCM in general, from my interview and to my first days at the organisation, I knew it would be a good fit for me. It's very welcoming. It has some really strong values that I align myself with as well. And I was really impressed by the building and the attention to detail, especially around sustainability. And that's really lovely to see an organisation actually putting into daily practice what it says its values are. My first impression of the online learning provision was that it was embedded in all these right values, and it had a really strong vision of its purpose and what it needed to be for the types of students that we had and the industry it was aligned to. And we had a great wealth of digital resources and assets that had been developed for our students, but that there was quite a bit of work to be done to harness the opportunities afforded by digital technologies and to develop teaching and learning practices to be more active, more student-led and more authentic to the sector which we cater for. UCM moved, as Lynn mentioned, we've moved from a distance education, a correspondence education model to online, and that's a huge achievement. And the next step is to move into a more active teaching online scenario. We need to remember that traditional teaching and on-ground teaching, it's been around for thousands of years, and fully online learning has been around for what, 20 or so? So we're still exploring and still collecting evidence about what works best. So there was UCM when I joined 2 years ago, I felt was ahead of the game, but there's still so much learning to do, and we have a great opportunity to do that.
You mentioned there the active learning. I mean, what does that involve? Because this is sort of where the digital education is going for UCM. So can you talk us through?
Yeah, and it's a movement across the sector as well, really. And higher education traditionally has been very much a didactic approach. So students attend lectures where a subject matter expert or a lecturer, an academic, will speak to them and provide them with knowledge and content and consolidation that they need, and then they go away and do their own research and formulate these essays and submit those for assessment marks and things like that. But there is a movement towards asking students not just to absorb information and absorb knowledge, but to actually actively engage with that and do something with it. So for example, in an online course, we wouldn't say to students anymore, okay, go and read this book and make some notes. What we would want to say now is, okay, here's this book, this is why it's important to you, this is its purpose of it in this module and how it's going to align with your assignment. Okay, go and read this chapter and then ask yourself these specific questions to help you critically analyze what you're reading. And when you formulated those notes, here's a question for you to have a debate with in the discussion forum, and your tutor will be in there and your peers, and you'll have a conversation around this, and there'll be summaries made at the end of the week. So that's a simple example of how we ask students to more actively engage in their learning. And of course, it doesn't have to be around reading something. It can be, we have a wealth of media now, so it can be videos, it can be audio. And we can also be asking students to make things either individually or in collaboration with each other. So at UCM, that could be designs, it could be drawings, it could be working out calculations, it could be doing a survey of a building. So there's lots of opportunities to get more deeply involved, more active in the materials that we provide.
Yeah, so it sounds like a more immersive experience is the kind of end journey for our students, and yeah, thinking critically for themselves, where obviously they'll then go to their construction sites or will be surveying large developments and can start to think and analyse things.
Absolutely right. And I think at the heart of it is that the students are able to take more ownership of their learning, and the learning becomes more student-led, and the tutor is still the most important resource that we have, but the tutor's role also takes on activities around guiding and facilitating and encouraging students and guiding, you know, helping them to undertake that active learning.
And then in terms of bringing this about, so what does your role involve? You're overseeing the direction we're now taking, and what's the composition of the digital education team which you're in charge of?
Yeah. So I'm head of digital education, and first and foremost, I lead a team of experts who design our online learning and ensure it's of a consistent quality standard. And that team includes learning designers, and it also includes quality and editorial specialists and accessibility experts. And these people have skills that span across a technical and an educational spectrum. So they're experts in learning technologies and the tools and the platforms we use, but they also have a really good and deep understanding of what it means to learn online and why that's different to learning in a face-to-face context, and what it means to teach online and why that's different in an on-ground context. And it's our job to work in collaboration with our academic team and our technical teams at UCM to design our online programs and all the modules that fall within those. But unlike similar roles at other universities, we also have a responsibility around formulating strategy and processes for what it means to teach and learn at UCM, not from a built environment perspective, not from a subject matter perspective, but from more of an online pedagogy perspective. And that may include things like establishing frameworks or supporting staff development, setting quality control standards. And it also includes being part of a much wider sector who are discussing online education and digital assessment, digital literacies, and sharing and learning from each other, ensuring that UCM has a strong voice as part of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there about the online education sector as well, and just how dynamic it is and how it's always evolving. So, I mean, you know, do you find that exciting working in online education? And that's for both of you, really?
Yes, I mean, I think that my background originally was in IT, and then I moved and had a psychology degree, and the online education space really brings those two together. So I find the new technology quite exciting, but it's not the technology for technology's sake. It's about how we can then exploit that technology for learning purposes. So, and you know, how to help people and support people learn. And I think online means that it opens up the opportunity for people to learn in a way that they couldn't do previously. So yeah, I find online education a real sweet spot from my experience in using those two aspects.
Yeah, and I love the sector I work in, and firstly because I see it as opening up so many doors in terms of supporting diversity, supporting widening access and participation, being more inclusive to anybody who wants to learn and to succeed in professional or educational aspirations. I also find it exciting because of the type of people who work in the sector, because they come from all range of backgrounds and disciplines. So people don't generally start off their career as a learning technologist or a digital education person. They come from other backgrounds. So they'll have degrees in STEM subjects and humanities. They'll have been teachers. They may have worked in civil service. They may have come from industry. And it's a real blending pot of experience. And I think that's when there's some really active online forums for digital education, such as the Association of Learning Technology. And if you post a question, you will always get answers, and from a variety of perspectives. And yeah, I find that really interesting.
Really active community on that side. So yeah, it's really great that you can collaborate in such a way, which obviously recently, Kate, you had that article which went in Construction Manager, and that was calling for greater collaboration, and that was related to the COVID-19 pandemic, which is why, of course, we're not doing this podcast in our lovely studio at our Horizons office, but from our homes across Berkshire, I believe. So it's something we have to mention, really. I mean, it's resulted in many universities seeking to implement online learning to continue teaching their students. And on that point of view of collaborative work between universities, with the experience you both have, what advice would you give to teams at other universities who are looking to introduce on learning, perhaps for the first time or taking it on to the next level?
Shall I go with that one first?
Yeah, go on, Kate.
I've got a couple of thoughts on that. My first piece of advice to other institutions is to give the experts in your institution on digital education a place at the table. Quite often universities will have teaching and learning committees or academic boards, and there's a lack of representation from learning technology or digital education because it's always seen as an add-on rather than at the core, then that now, of course, it has to be at the core. So give those people a place at the table and listen to their voices. On a more practical level, I'd say don't try to do everything online that you do on your campus, university. Don't need to deliver hours of lectures every week. It can be in smaller chunks. You can do activities on a VLE, you can manage forums well. And linked to that, it's just more important to be present at this time as a teacher than it is to keep the traditional notion of contact hours being a one-hour lecture or one-hour seminar. Be present in the forums, be present on chat, have virtual office hours. I think that's really important to bring the care and the humanity into online education. And in terms of technology, I think it's about choosing a small set of tools that you know work and using them well. Don't try and get all the jazzy plugins and lots of different platforms. A good virtual learning environment and good piece of video conferencing software will generally do the job for you. But also to remember, it's not about the tech, it's about the teaching. We need to ensure that our teachers have the digital literacies and the confidence and support that they need to be able to do their academic practice within those spaces.
Yeah, no, I totally support everything Kate says. And I think, you know, from the collaboration between the learning designers or technology enhanced learning teams or whatever they are and the academic staff is key to making it work. Because without using the skill set of all of those people, it would be difficult to achieve. And I think, you know, strategically, it needs investment. This isn't, it's not cheap to do this and to have the right tools and the right people working on it. So it does need investment. And obviously, at the moment, as people are trying to do things quickly, I would totally agree with Kate, you know, keep it simple, use tools that you're familiar with, and don't try to do too much too quickly. It does take time to get it right.
Great, right. Some fantastic advice there for any team which is looking to implement online learning. So bite-sized chunks. I love the keep it simple phrase. I think it can work across many situations you have in your life. Keeping it simple certainly does work. And yeah, the investment, of course, is another really important facet of that. So thank you both for talking through UCM's own online learning journey. And just before we finish, I usually end on a few questions. So we'll look for a one-line response and reflecting the current situation, they're mainly lockdown-based. So first off, what is the best thing you have watched during lockdown? And we'll go with Lynn first.
So I would have to say Normal People, the TV series. That's been my highlight for my TV watching.
Good choice. Yes, I've seen that as well. And Kate?
I was actually going to say the same thing.
Oh, right.
I really, really enjoyed that series as well. And I did kind of binge watch it. Yeah.
Me too, yeah.
So, seeing as Lynn's already said that, it's something that's a bit more sector-based. I really love a podcast called Teaching in Higher Ed Podcast by Bonnie Strahoviak, and it's on every week. It explores the arts and science of facilitating learning. And she does an interview with someone who's brought out a book or an expert from all across the globe every week. And I drive my team crazy because, you know, every few weeks I'll come and go, I just listened to this podcast and we have to try digital power-ups. It sounds so cool. It's just really inspirational. And it's really informal. So anyone who is interested in just getting some ideas about supporting learners or trying new things in online education, I'll go for that one.
Great. So something very much related to what we've been talking about and something which has swept the nation, I think, with Normal People. What is your favourite technology for helping you with your work? And we'll go with Kate.
It's been the same for a number of years now, but Twitter. I absolutely love Twitter and I feel so connected to the community. I get lots of ideas. I join Twitter chat. It's where I get most of my conference invitations from and invitations to participate in projects and things like that. So, yeah, Twitter is a really valuable tool for me to keep abreast of everything that's going on and be part of a wider conversation.
So we are so aligned, because that's exactly what I was going to say as well. I think, you know, the edtech community is quite strong on Twitter, so I think it is a really useful place. I would think under this situation of lockdown, though, to pick something different, you know, I found that the collaboration tools with Teams, so that we can talk to each other, collaborate on documents together and chat together, is probably the one that's helping me most during this time.
Yeah, I mean, that and Zoom obviously is another thing which is being used by a lot more companies at the moment. So, but Twitter is a great shout. And yeah, do look out for Lynn and Kate on there for all their thoughts on online education and, of course, study UCM. And then finally, something a bit more serious, but one which is really important, I think, at the moment. And that's what piece of advice would you give people for maintaining your motivation and a positive outlook? I think at this time, obviously, we had Mental Health Awareness Week just a few weeks ago, and some really great resources. And there's some great work which goes on with our mental health first aiders at UCEM. So what helps you during these tough times, would you say?
The most important thing for me is trying to maintain a work-life balance, because it's different when you get to, you know, put on your work clothes every day and go to the office, and then when you're at work, you're at work, and when you come home, you're at home. At the moment, everything's at home, so there is no work life. It's all kind of the same thing. And the amount of times I've come off my computer at the end of the day and gone into the kitchen and gone, right, guys, right, family, we need a strategy for cutting dinner, and they just like looked at me like, you're so still in work mode, stop it, we're just gonna bang a pizza in the oven. It's not a strategy for me. The most important thing is to just try and cut off that work day, go for a walk, go for a run, just close the door, put your folders and your papers in a box and just put them away. So for me, it's still trying to maintain that work-life balance whilst you're in one place.
Great.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think thinking about the mental health, you know, for me, I think it's a really low tech thing that I enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles, and not online or on a tablet or anything, but, you know, real jigsaw puzzles with real pieces. So that's been brilliant. And I think for me, walking, and certainly walking in the woods, in nature, I think that's been really important. And to get away from the technology at the end of the day, where you've, you know, probably sat in front of a screen for a large number of hours. So to go and do something, and do something outside with nature and sort of more basic without using technology is for me the way to keep my motivation and mental health.
Yeah, no, two great answers. And yeah, definitely getting outside and appreciating the nature around us, I think, is so important, particularly at this time. So yeah, thank you both for your time. Really great to hear from you about UCEM's learning journey, and ending off there with a little bit about the current situation and what you're doing to have that divide between your work time and your time away from work in the same office as it might be. So but yeah, I mean, that almost sounds like a sitcom to Kate, with going off and treating your kind of cooking style with a strategy and stuff like that.
You could absolutely run a sitcom out of my house at the moment.
Right, any potential writers, do get in touch. So thank you both for your time, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.